Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Tuesday. Should be a good show.
If later. We have some bats.
That's what's...
We need some bats.
I think that's what's holding us back, is some bats. I think the fact that the Yankees came back so strong about the against the Astros yesterday bodes well for us, because it says to the Cubs, you can lay low for a couple of games and then come back strong, and everybody's happy.
What happens, let me just ask, again, all right, I got to word this correctly. The Cubs are the team to come back from behind. They've done it before.
They've done it in the past, and hopefully they will do it in the near future.
But now if they don't win tonight.
You're down 3-0 against the team that had the best record in baseball for
blah,
the season.
Blah, blah, blah.
So then you have to win.
All 4 in a row against the Dodgers to advance.
Easily done.
Steve says, you know Steve Bertrand from Newsworld?
I hear he's nice.
He's a nice man. He's a very tall, nice man. He says it's blah, 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 that it's easy. It's too easy.
Man in the yellow hat.
The man in the yellow hat's got the ball.
Tonight. He's pitching tonight.
Haven't we? See, look what's happening to me.
I like what I'm hearing.
I don't like it.
No, this is good.
Haven't the Cubs been successful when Kyle Hendricks pitches?
For the most part, yes.
For the most part, yes.
We're all very hopeful. But I really do think that the Cubs, if they were paying any attention to last night's Yankees-Astros game, said, a team can be down 0-2 and seemingly be out of it and then turn everything around in a night.
So, but the key is you have to hit the ball.
Please hit the ball. Please hit the ball. And start hitting it immediately, and then do not stop hitting it.
Do not stop.
Until everybody has left the ballpark.
Whatever you do. Be like Javi, swing constantly.
Swing, right. I can't stress that enough. And they've asked Steve and myself to come and visit the team before the game to share our thoughts with them. And we were going to say essentially that. We practice this. Boys, just swing and swing and swing, and then connect with the ball and hit it fair and then run fast. Those are our words of advice.
It's got to happen.
Boy, I hope so.
It's going to happen.
I hope so.
I was lost without any sports to watch last night. What has happened to me?
You didn't watch the American League.
I am an American League fan, but what do I care if the White Sox aren't in it?
Yeah, I guess.
I was so relieved to just be able to read a book.
Yeah.
I was. It's a night off. And
doesn't it put you through? I mean, it's a high-stress situation for 4 hours to watch these games. So sometimes a little respite isn't the worst thing in the world. I get it.
I'm rabid now. I'm a rabid sports fan. I got Hawks tonight. I got Cubs game.
It should be good. It should be very good, right? I'm very, very hopeful. It would be awful to be down 0-3. Doesn't mean it's over.
The next game would be a must win, correct?
That would then become your must win territory.
Pretty sure you guys should win.
We would be very happy to see you guys win.
All right. That's all I need to know.
That would be it. On a personal note, I must share this with you. A couple of months ago, it was Colon Awareness Month, and we had people on explaining the importance of having a colonoscopy, which I've still not had.
I was all excited you were going to say you had one yesterday.
No, I did not have one yesterday. I'll warn you, it's coming up in December. I made an appointment
yesterday. You said that last December.
No, I've never made an appointment before.
Oh, it's on the books?
You put it on the books, yes.
I told you, I got a guy.
No, I already found a guy.
Okay.
Who's not a doctor.
Does he have a white van?
He's behind the Target.
Right. He's a mobile colonoscoper.
Right. He's not a doctor, but he said he's been following it closely for years.
It's the Cologo van.
Guys, honestly, you can do anything after watching YouTube now. Seriously.
I think you can. But I almost, I made the call, and it wasn't easy for me to make the call. It just wasn't, and I was on hold, and the whole time I'm holding on, this obviously isn't meant to be. I've been on hold for nearly 3 minutes.
It's like calling a girl in high school.
Yes.
Right? 3 minutes, that's nothing.
Yes. And then when she was on, I kept saying, you know what, let's just put it off till next year. But I made a promise that I would do it, and I'm signed up for, I think, the 8th of December. You have to plan these things in advance. You can't just go. They don't have the drive-through.
Thank God. Although those tubes that go through the bank drive-through would be appropriate.
Pneumatic tubes?
Yeah.
I guess they would.
You'll be fine.
I think I will be fine, except now here's a question, because I've never had one that's a legitimate question, although the lady on the phone thought I was kidding.
Let's hear this.
All right. It's scheduled for a Friday. I want to say December the 8th. we're going to live stream it. So I said, I know I have to take that day off of work, but do I have to take the day before off as well for any kind of prep stuff? She goes, oh, absolutely not.
It's just fasting.
But then she says, we're going to give you some tablets that you need to take, two of them at noon and two of them at 2 o'clock. I go, okay, what do those do? And she goes, oh, they loosen you up. I go, they loosen me up in what way? Because I don't know if that means
you thought like a Xanax
psychologically,
or something.
I don't know what that means.
You mean like when I'm on the stream, when I'm loosened up,
right? Like that.
Don't say stream, because like really.
So I said, they loosen you up in what way? And she laughs and she goes, "Well, you're kidding, right?" And I go, "I'm not kidding. I've never had one before." And she goes, "Well, they loosen up your body so that
your bowels
you'll express
Express yourself.
You expel anything that's inside of you." And I go, "Well, then I shouldn't be working during that, should I?" And she goes, "Everyone handles it differently." And I go, "But I have a job where I don't want to be embarrassed or anyone to be embarrassed by me or
you
for
do that
me.
Every day. You're embarrassed.
I guess so.
You'll be. It's fine.
I guess so.
But now they have changed things. Actually, Bill, we have someone who can help you. Nurse Jill is on the line. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
Scared.
I know. You know what? You'll be fine. And I know everyone tells you that. So I'm a nurse, and I've had about, 25 of these because I have issues, but that's another story. But it's very simple. The night before, like around 4 o'clock or so, you'll do like clear liquids. They'll probably tell you to do clear liquids all day, which is fine. You'll be hungry. Mm-hmm. But drink a lot of Gatorade. And then you'll start taking the prep, and usually the doctors now give you just two little bottles of this mag citrate you can take over the counter. So ask for the mag citrate, and they'll give you a few pills. And the important thing about what you drink is to chug it. And I know that sounds gross, and you think you're going to throw up, but the faster you chug it, the faster everything is taken care of. Let's just
How much say. Of this do I need to drink?
All of it, that's...
How many ounces
it's
is it?
Like, it's usually about maybe 24 ounces max, but I don't even know if it's that much.
And
It's not good, but yeah. My question is, Jill, if he takes it at noon...
No, I don't think that's right.
No, she said two tablets at noon, two tablets at 2 o'clock, and then the drink starts at 4 or 5, I think.
Well, all right, that's all right.
Does that sound about right?
If you want to do it that way, then, I mean, really, you can do it any way you want, and everybody feels like, oh, I have to follow the directions. No, you don't.
You don't have to follow the directions.
You could take it all at 4 o'clock, and you would be fine.
Okay.
Jill, I have one question for you, Jill. When I had it done, I did take the pills, and I was told that they don't use those pills anymore because...
I don't know. My doc does.
I don't know.
Why did they tell you they stopped using them?
Because you are really busy after you take the pills.
Really?
My husband just had one a couple years ago, and he just did the fluid.
Yeah.
And he was like, nothing's going on. And then right before he had his appointment.
Niagara Falls.
A little bit, but not as bad. I thought that they stopped using those pills.
Well, the important thing is to make sure that the prep works or you're wasting your time and your money and you have to do it all again. You don't want to do it all again.
Jill, how many people are in the room when I'm going to have this procedure done?
Just the listeners.
You know,
we're going to have a studio audience.
A doctor, but here's what they'll do. They'll bring you in the room. They'll put you on the table. And they'll give you the most wonderful propofol Michael Jackson drug you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
Now we know why he liked it. And you'll be out.
Yeah.
And you'll be out. You won't know anything. You won't feel anything.
But don't
you'll
I need to be coherent enough to do what they tell me to do?
No.
They don't tell you
They'll
to do
say
anything.
Roll over. That's really all you got to do.
Yeah. Right. You roll over. They'll give you the drug, and you'll have the best sleep you've ever had. And then you'll wake up, and it'll be over, and you'll go, wow, I'd like a cheeseburger.
Right. Oh. You're hungry afterwards.
I would imagine. All right.
It really is. Once you do it, it's so simple, and you'll get through the prep, and you know you'll be just kind of bring a good book to the bathroom, and you'll just stay in there for a while.
All right. It seems
really
easy. Okay.
It's very easy. You'll do fine, and it's the most important thing anybody can do. Here's my little thing because I'm a cancer nurse. Oh my God, get your colonoscopy, people, because colon cancer is preventable. Don't get colon cancer for something as silly as going through a colonoscopy.
If Bill's doing it, anyone can do it.
I haven't done it yet, but my plan is to do it. So
I have a feeling you're going to cancel today.
No, I'll do it. I'm going to do it.
Don't cancel.
I won't. You'll
be fine. And you'll love the propofol. That'll be fabulous drug. You'll sleep and it'll be fabulous.
All right, you like it too much, Jill.
I think I I think I do.
All right. Thank you so much
for your
Jill. Words of encouragement. I know that the pills I took, that they stopped using it, but these obviously are different ones.
I don't know what they are. She mentioned some name. I never heard of it before. I know are Flintstone shaped. Can I take some Barney's and a Dino? Yeah, take some Barney's and a Dino. It'll be fine.
Quick break, 312-981-7200. Words of encouragement for Bill as he awaits the arrival of his colonoscopy.
Yay.
I'm proud of you.
It really was a difficult call, but
I know.
I got that part done, so now I just need to go through with this procedure.
Honestly, that was the hardest part.
It was. And knowing that there's an IV because of my fear of needles, because I said, is there any way around that? And the lady goes, there's no way around that. No.
All right. 312-981-7200. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's 720 WGN.
Colonoscopy. I had a question on my mind. Do we all look the same when the doctor sees us from behind? Then I had the answer. I felt like such a fool, 'cause the doctor smiled and said to me, your colon's really cool.
Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah, I signed up for one. It'll be the first one I've ever had, colonoscopy, December 8th, and then I'm having a semi-colonoscopy on the 9th. They were running a package deal. Bertrand Travel.
We can get you there.
The route may be strange, but we can get you there.
I'm super proud of you for even making an appointment.
Oh,
I really am.
Thanks.
Kathy has a funny story about your colonoscopy or your husband's?
My husband's. He had a colonoscopy. I'm from Wisconsin, and not that that makes any difference.
They do it differently there.
They do there. Yeah. You can't eat that day before, and after he had his colonoscopy, he says, God, I'm really, really hungry. And like Nurse Jill said, you want to go out and have a cheeseburger. So he said, let's go out and have a cheeseburger. And there was a bar we went to that had they called it the assembly burger, so you could get what you wanted on it instead of just whatever was on the menu.
Yeah.
And so we ate and everything, and she brought the bill, and she abbreviated it, so it was an ass burger. And we laughed because we said, well, you know, that could be like one of their specials. You could give a discount on people that had colonoscopies on their ass burger.
That's perfect.
That's pretty funny.
That's great. Beautiful.
So good luck with everything. It'll all come out. You'll be clean as a whistle.
That's what I'm hearing. Well, thanks, Kathy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Have a good week.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd be really startled if there was a whistle sound that came out of you.
I wouldn't be that shocked.
Bill, I don't know if you should come in and take the train home on the day you start those.
On the Thursday before?
Yeah.
The day before? Well, she said everyone is affected differently by these tablets.
I don't really think so. Is it Visicol?
I don't remember.
Sodium phosphate in tablet form. The tablets are taken 4 at a time every 15 minutes with 8 ounces of a clear liquid.
No, she said 2 tablets at noon and 2 tablets at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So that could be, I think that's different.
Yeah, I had to take like a million pills. And
they got you right away?
Pretty quick. I had about a 10-minute break.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
no one saw me for the rest of the night.
Yep. All right, well, we'll see how that plays out.
Oh, no, we won't. You will.
I will. I will see how that plays
Scott.
Out.
Hi, Scott. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
All right, that's good. I have a very weird story. This is how my brain functions on my first colonoscopy. You know, you do the prep, you go in, you have it done, and I was in the recovery room, and the nurse came in to check on me, and she was kind of chuckling, and I said, well, like, what's funny? And she said, do you remember what you said to me when we brought you in the room? And I said, no. And she said, well, you asked me if they found Jimmy Hoffa there.
Oh, God.
That's hysterical. You know, on the internet now, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of tapes of people that are drugged up for various surgeries. And they're all saying goofy stuff, and I don't want to be one of those people. I don't know who's videotaping and putting it on the internet, but that's one of my biggest fears about this.
All right, well, good luck with that.
It's not so bad, right, Scott?
It is not.
It's not? You don't remember any of it?
I do not. Just, the caller that you had previously, they give you that, the knockout drug, and Boy, she's ready to do this. Wonderful.
It works.
I wanted to put a six-pack home with me.
Wow. Wow.
All right, Scott. Well, thank you for being brave. Bill, you're going to be brave, too. And as of March of this year, there are new prep is easier to swallow.
Oh, it is.
So improved prep time, timing makes for a better experience. I'll print this out for you. But they've changed this as of March of this year. So I still would take the day before off.
Maybe. I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it.
I'll look more into that. I don't want to be on the train with you.
No, I don't think anyone does. All right, we'll take a quick break. News is next, and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. I have a question for you guys. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's Steve Bertrand here. I was driving in this morning, and I was the third car waiting to turn right on red. So two cars in front of me. The car in front of me rear-ended the car in front of him. So I'm sitting behind this, and the first thing I think of is, oh, God, now it's going to delay me because I can't get around and turn right.
Sure.
The strangest thing happened. If you rear-end someone... Speaking of your colonoscopy,
it all does tie together.
We're moving on.
All right. Don't you get out of your car to see what damage happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
The car that rear-ended the car in front of him, the guy in who got rear-ended got out of his car. He looked at the back of his car, looked at the bumper, looked at the car behind him, and just kind of raised his hand and did like a... let's go, like, let's roll, like, it's all good, don't worry about it.
Really?
And he got in his car and drove away.
That's supposed to be a mutual decision, isn't it?
Well, that's my question, is the person who did the rear ending never got out of the car to look at the front of their car? So God knows, the guy who got rear-ended, if there's no damage on his big Tahoe or whatever he had, what does he care? But wouldn't you get out to look at the front of your car?
Well, no, I wouldn't. I'd want to get the heck out of there because you're responsible.
Yeah, but so, that's when you get out and you go, oh, my God, I am so sorry. I don't know what happened. I mean.
Yeah, but if I get the hi-ho from the guy, then.
All is clear.
What if your front end is smashed in?
But you're going to have to pay for it anyway because you did it. And if you call the cops and file a claim, there could be a citation. You know,
so anytime that situation happens, it's always the responsibility of the person who's the behind car, because they're the ones that did the ramming, right?
Yeah.
All right. So in this particular instance, the guy who got rammed, he decided, I'm not damaged, you're not damaged, let's move on.
DiGilio's going to play an entire block for you guys.
I always thought it had to be a mutual decision of both parties.
Well, all I know is that if I rear-ended somebody, I would get out first and foremost to see what happened, like how much damage is on either of the cars.
Yes.
If there was a lot, then I'd get back in and drive away. And I'm kidding. But
would you wear a disguise?
No, but the curiosity would kill me. If I rear-ended someone, I'd want to get out to go, oh, my God, dude, I am so sorry.
Well, how long was the guy out of the car? Was it like a 30-second thing? Yeah, I mean...
But...
And it wasn't a high impact.
No,
it was slow.
It made a pretty loud noise, though. But it was bumper to bumper, and that's why you have bumpers. I understand that.
Bump. The word bump is right in there.
Exactly.
It's the root word.
But so the guy who did the rear ending, guy or woman, I couldn't tell who it was. I just know that I got around that person and got in the other lane because I didn't want them to be behind me. But that person did not even pull over at the next block to see the damage. Now.
You have to do that.
You got to look at your car. What if the front end of that car is completely smashed?
Right.
But it wouldn't have been. It sounds like it was a very minor.
But it was a small Jetta and a big, like, Suburban or something. So
usually the Suburban
is going to win.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough. I don't know.
If you hit someone, I just thought both people get out and
you're
go, oh, I'm
to.
So sorry.
Right.
I have never seen anyone hit someone and then just stay in the car.
And they weren't texting or talking to anybody
saying,
you can't believe what I just did. Nothing like that?
I couldn't tell. I'm just trying to mind my own business.
You as a third party should have intervened and got involved in this.
You, get out of the car.
Everybody out of their cars.
Come
here. Let's think about what we just did.
When it happened, though.
Do you have anything to say to him, miss?
See, and I really was the first thing. I'm like, oh, God, now I can't turn right.
Forever.
Yeah. And then I thought, God, I hope everyone's okay. I guess I'm a witness to it.
Right.
but nothing happened. The guy waved everybody on.
Could you have left the scene?
Civic duty.
All right, let's say there was more of an altercation there than just, no damage, let's move on. Was it your responsibility then to stay there because you were a witness, or could you have left the scene of a crime?
I don't think legally you have to stay, but if it was something terrible, I would have probably stayed.
So not just a little dent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you decide that. Did that guy decide it for you? Did the guy in the front car say to you, you can also go?
He was so funny, though. He just got out, looked around, you know, tall, thin guy with the sunglasses on, and he was in a hurry, and he just got rear-ended. He gets out, he looks, he surveys the damage on both cars, and he just does, like, the rap sign, puts his arms up, like, all right, let's go, everybody, back to normal.
What a cool guy.
It was.
You know,
was,
some guys would be like, you know, you just want to get into an argument with someone.
Sure.
Why did you do that? Come on, let's just move on. No one...
But he didn't even, like, go up to the driver and go, what are you thinking?
Nothing like
there
that.
There was no communication between the two drivers at all. And that, to me...
That's how society is now, Wendy. There's just no communication anymore. You used to be able to yell at somebody, have them yell back at you. Nobody's interested in that anymore.
And then, you know, driving in on Congress, it's pretty backed up, and there is a woman evidently putting makeup on with her visor mirror with the light on.
Oh, that's always
And
good.
There's like a 12-car gap, so the person behind him just laid on the horn.
Oh, good.
Because, I mean, God, will you pay attention?
I know.
And talk to each other.
I know.
That's all
Yell at
I
each
want.
Other like the old days.
All right, real quickly, Betty's on the line. Hi, Betty. So the same thing happened to you?
Well, very similar, yes. We were at a stop sign. My husband's driving. We have a big Chevy full-size van, and we were stopped at a red light, and a little Toyota car driven by, you know, some teenage girls or 20-year-old girls, it just, you know, bumped into us. I mean, not didn't smash into us, but bumped into us, and we thought, you know, let's get out and look. Well, my husband looked, and he didn't really see anything. I looked, you know, bent down and looked better. And I says, I don't know, it looks like there might be something underneath there, some damage. So we went ahead, did the proper procedures, called the cops, and, you know, had a report. Long story short, we took it to the insurance and had, you know, had it looked at and everything. We had a good, I don't know, $1,000, $1,500 damage done to the car, but my husband thought, well, everything was fine.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a good thing that, you know, I got out and looked.
Yeah.
I guess. So, yeah, you don't know. It's better to have it looked at.
And I just can't believe, did the young girl who hit you, did she get out of her car to look at her car, too? I mean...
Yes, she did, and it's not funny, but as it turned out, you know, she's talking to the cop, filling everything out. She said she had just been in an accident a few days before
this,
too.
Oh, good. She's on a streak.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Well, glad everything worked out. Sorry it was so much money. But that's just it. If you hit some, I can't imagine someone just staying in their car and not getting out to survey the damage.
That's part of what you do.
Very weird.
Maybe they were intimidated, too, you know.
That could have been it, Steve. That could have definitely been it. All right, well, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Bridget Carey joins us from CNET, lets us know what's going on in the world of technology. That happens next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday, you know that, because it is Tuesday, and we have Bridget Carey on the line, senior editor at CNET. How are you, Bridget?
Hey, doing all right.
Bridget, that's please you. Tell me you saw Last Week Tonight on HBO as they took down the Equifax scandal, John Oliver's show on Sunday night. Did you see it by any chance?
I have to, I guess.
Oh, it's so good.
No,
it's
I'm
so
not
good.
I'm not cool enough to see things when they air.
It's so good. And they say John Oliver's piece explains that any of these other ancillary companies, like if you've had your information breached through Equifax, if you go through another company to hold it or freeze it or correct it, those people then end up referring back to Equifax, Equifax making money off the transaction.
Wow.
Very frustrating.
It is really upsetting when you have so many layers of loss of control and a company that essentially is profiting off everyone's information, whether you want them or not. Like you don't get to choose to be a customer necessarily. You know, this is one of these situations where you're like, okay, great. I didn't even give you, you know, this information and
right.
have my credit in your hands.
Well, people said on the show, they talked to various people connected with the story, and they said that this is something that will haunt people who were breached for the rest of their lives, not for a year or 5 years or 10 years, but forever, that people who have this information, you know, it's your Social Security number, it's your birth date, it's all that information, that you'll never be safe from this.
I I went on Equifax's website and it said I was involved, like my information is probably out there, and that they'll get back to me sometime about a free credit report service. Oh, how nice. There needs to be more accountability here with this kind of responsibility.
Bridget, I have to tell you, I typed in my name and social security number, and it says, yes, your information may have been breached. And then I typed in my husband's info and social. And then I just thought, for a goof, I'm going to put Snyder as my last name and social security number 1234567 89, and it popped up, your information may have been breached, and there's no way anybody has that social security number.
Right. And I saw some high-end security researchers at the time say they're getting false positives too, so you don't even know what to believe. These people do not have their act together at all. I am kind of optimistic that maybe in a few years there will be something else to replace the social security number, because the way our system and environment is now, social security number was never invented to be like the one super secure identity in this kind of internet world we live in now, right? And yeah. And with documents flying everywhere from doctor's offices and banking systems. And so if there is something else that can be invented that fits better with how everything is electronic now, that would be fantastic.
Bill, I know, Bridget, you're too young for this, but when I first got my driver's license, you could put your social security number on the license for all the world to see.
You know, the driver's license is now one of the few things that you also still want to keep safe, and yet that was also involved in a lot of hacks now lately too. So,
all right, speaking of security flaws, explain what this crack security flaw is all about.
Well, aside from its funny name and being called a crack attack, this actually is a bit of a doozy. It affects practically every single machine that uses Wi-Fi. And what happened, it sounds pretty spooky, so I'm going to tell you what it does, and I'm going to give you the reality check. This is not a flaw in a particular type of laptop or type of computer. This is a flaw in how wireless systems talk to each other. It's WPA2 security. So when you put a password into your Wi-Fi, it uses a certain type of protocol. And one researcher said, hey, I found that there is a flaw in this. I can trick the machine that if I'm nearby enough to connect to you wirelessly, I have a script where I can trick the machine so that I can spy on everything you're doing. I can see everything you're typing in, whether that's a password to a website or a conversation you're having. So nothing you do over the internet connection that I'm nearby is encrypted. And this affects Android, Windows, Apple. They said that Android machines are more vulnerable because it's much easier to do than, say, breaking into an iOS device. But nevertheless, every single thing has this flaw. And the answer for us, because, okay, now what do you do, is to wait for every company to send out a patch to fix this.
That'll be easy.
Yeah. Right. Here's the good and the bad of that. The good is this researcher, before going public with this, he privately told all these manufacturers, companies like Google said in the coming weeks they'll be rolling out updates. Apple, too, had to say that they were going to roll out a fix. So you as a consumer really have to worry about making sure your laptop and your smartphone are updated. But we have a lot of things in our house that are connected to Wi-Fi. Sometimes your car is even connected to Wi-Fi, or a TV, or a smart light bulb. And are you really going to, like, download an update for your smart light bulb? Probably not. So, but then who's going to take advantage of this? For a hacker to use this, they have to be within your it has to be like the distance of your neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. So unless you have a really sneaky hacker neighbor.
Which we do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. You know, so that's why it's most important to keep things you do when you travel, like your laptops and your smartphones, make sure they're updated whenever there is the next security update for those machines. But otherwise, if you have like a TV that you don't know if it's updated, don't go putting sensitive stuff on there if you are suspicious of your hacker neighbors, is how I would put it.
Good advice. Solid.
How safe are...
I want to actually use this against people as they know of yet. It's more like one security researcher found some flaw that no one else really knew was possible that we know of.
I get kind of leery sometimes, like if I'm at the Toyota dealer waiting for my car to be fixed and you can, you know, jump onto their free Wi-Fi. And here at work, I guess I trust this a little more, but Starbucks, is it cool to use those free Wi-Fis? Is there any way somebody could get in and compromise your information by using those?
Okay, separate conversation from this attack, and the answer is no, it's not good, but here's what I would limit things to. When you're on a free Wi-Fi at the hotel, at the Starbucks, whatever you send over that Wi-Fi is usually what can be compromised. And nevertheless, too, if someone's really good and you happen to be next to someone who's a hacker at that coffee shop, they could probably go really deep into your computer, send you something. You know, it depends how much effort they're going to put into this, you know. But for the quick answer, if someone wants to just kind of be a spy and observe what you're doing, yes, they can observe what you're doing. So don't go checking into your flight and putting in your passport number. You know, don't go shopping and putting in your credit card number when you're on these free Wi-Fis. Definitely always a big no.
That is some great advice. We appreciate it.
Bridget, thanks so much. Hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thanks. Talk to you guys later.
Bridget Carey from CNET. Go to CNET.com. All the info is right there. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. In the next half hour, we'll talk about the new Saturday Night Live exhibit that is here in town.
Can't wait to see that.
It looks exciting. It looks very good. All right. This may be the worst Halloween costume idea of the year.
All right.
Are you ready?
Hit me.
Anne Frank.
Oh, my God.
Does that appeal to you on any level whatsoever? Would anyone in their right mind decide that that is a good idea to dress like Anne Frank for Halloween this year?
Is this making a comeback?
I can't figure out why, after all these years, this would be on the list. An online retailer has pulled a costume from its website that depicted Holocaust victim Anne Frank. Screenshots of the costume for sale at HalloweenCostumes.com posted to social media show a smiling girl wearing World War II era clothing and a beret. The costume was quickly criticized on Twitter. Carlos Galindo Olvera, who leads the Anti-Defense League's Arizona office, said on Twitter that the costume trivializes Frank's memory. Agreed. North Mankato, Minnesota-based Funcom, runs the website. Spokesperson Ross Walker-Smith tweeted on Sunday that the costume has since been pulled from the website. He explained that the company sells costumes for activities other than Halloween. This is the best part, is him trying to justify it. It's not just for Halloween.
I mean, come on. Kids have birthday parties. They want Anne Frank to show up instead of a clown.
It's fun. It's not just for Halloween. It's fun. He explained that the company sells costumes for activities other than Halloween, like, for instance, school projects and plays. He apologized then for any offense caused by the costume. Anne Frank is known for the diary that she wrote while hiding from the Nazis during World War II.
Can I tell you something? And I don't know if your girls did this, but in elementary school, both my boys participated in an Ellis Island study. So they all had to dress as immigrants. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of fun putting together their outfits. Mm-hmm. And I could almost see if they're doing something in school, but it wouldn't be a costume that's available. You would put together something yourself.
Right. His justification is ridiculous. I mean, this is a company, what is it called? HalloweenCostumes.com. The word Halloween, of course, being the very first part of the thing. Yes, you could use it for something else. But the odds are, if you're seeing it on this website, you're looking for Halloween costumes. That's their whole goal, is to sell you a Halloween costume at HalloweenCostumes.com. For him to say, there's a myriad of uses for this. It's not just to dress like Anne Frank.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, HalloweenCostumes.com or .eu?
It says HalloweenCostumes.com. All right. That wouldn't be right. It'd be .com.
Well, .eu is the European version of it. They're also selling it there,
too.
Oh,
they are? Now, did they take it off of that part of their website?
I don't know that. I know that they've had people tweeting, this is inexcusable.
Right. I would be amazed if they didn't pull it everywhere. That would be shocking to me, especially if there's a branch in Germany, because there is no leeway at all for this sort of thing in Germany. They don't take this lightly in Germany. They would pull this immediately.
Did you read the description?
Yeah.
That now your child can...
Oh, I didn't read this part. No, 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 no.
Now your child can play the role of a World War II hero.
Nice
with
try.
This girl's World War II costume.
Nice try.
Uh-uh.
No. 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 Now, in addition to this, Wendy, this is exciting. You know, every year they take things that are just everyday things, and to Halloweenize them, they just put the word sexy in there.
It drives you nuts every year.
It drives me nuts every year. Because there is nothing sexy about a ketchup bottle. I'm sorry, but I said it. There's nothing sexy about an onion ring. Nothing. But every year you get sexy ketchup bottles and sexy onion rings. So this year's sexiest Halloween costumes.
Sexoween.
Sexoween. That's the holiday that I petitioned for and they said I couldn't have. All right. Shall I share with you this year's sexiest Halloween costumes that you are still able to buy? Each of them more exciting than the next.
Yes. I love this time of year.
Let us start out, Wendy, with the sexy loofah. Two words you rarely see together, but this Halloween you can dress as a sexy loofah. It says, the strapless leggy costume is arguably the dirtiest way to look clean. How about this one? Sexy fake news.
How do you make that costume happen?
It's a dress that shows a lot of cleavage, and it looks like it's all made of newspaper, and then the word fake is stamped all over it.
I kind of like that one. I'm sorry.
As much as I'd like to believe they say here at MSN that this fake news costume is itself fake, it is not. It is real, and you can dress like this.
They should at least have fake padded boobs to go along with it.
I bet you could probably pull that off. You could probably swing that. This one is something that I had in a nightmare once. Now it turns out to be real. Sexy Cap'n Crunch. Note, by the way, I didn't say Captain Crunch because that would be incorrect. It's Cap'n. Cap'n Crunch.
C-A-P apostrophe N.
Yeah. So it's the same outfit that the drunk captain himself always wore. You know, that
was
kind
he
of
drunk?
Blues. Yeah, he was drunk. He was always drunk.
Hmm.
You heard him talk, right?
I guess he did sound drunk.
Yeah, he always sounded drunk. And had a pirate ship filled with kids. Nothing's wrong with that I see. Do you?
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Come on.
And
don't tarnish. He was a cartoon.
I guess. Who was always drunk and traveled with children on the high seas. That's fine.
What about the Crunchberry Beast?
Sexy Crunchberry Beast.
That's a good costume.
That's automatic. If you're the Crunchberry Beast, you're automatically sexy. It's his blue satiny outfit with the big hat with the C on it. And the only difference is that in this version, the skirt, which he never wore on TV, that was always private, very, 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 very short. And it looks like the top is unbuttoned or, again, showing quite a bit of cleavage. Sexy pilot, which is just your average pilot uniform, but sleeveless. Like the sleeves have been cut off, like a male stripper outfit.
Oh, so it's for a guy?
Yeah, a woman could wear it too, I'm sure. But boy, is it sexy. Wendy, a sexy lumberjack. Does that do anything for you?
I find them to be always sexy.
They're very sexy.
Is this guy or girl costume?
This one is for a girl. So what you have there is some very tight blue shorts, a hat that a lumberjack would wear, and then the shirt is kind of like Daisy Duke. It's like a red flannel, but it's tied in the center, and bare midriff is a must for the sexy
she's
lumberjack.
She's a lumberjack, and
she's okay.
Okay.
She's more than okay. All right, we have more of this year's sexiest outfits, the things that you'll be clamoring to get and fool your friends and neighbors with. Stick around. More of that next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And it's Halloween, it's Halloween, it's time for skips, it's time for squeeze. It's Halloween, it's Halloween. The ghost will spook, the spooks will scare. Why even Dracula will be there?
Why even Dracula will be there, Wendy?
It's hard to talk over this, isn't it?
Shags?
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful music.
I mean, I want to hear it. I don't want to talk over it.
Yeah. We are reading to you the sexiest Halloween costumes of 2017. When we were kids, Wendy, there were no sexy costumes. You were Huckleberry Hound, you were Yogi Bear, that's it. But now everybody wants to look sexy for Halloween.
I was a pretty cute angel, but it wasn't sexy.
No.
And it wasn't accurate. And then I was a devil the next year.
A little more accurate.
And then I was a clown.
Yeah.
I always use my cousin Susie's costumes.
Yeah.
That's all I can remember. And a hobo. Many years I was a hobo, where you'd have the broomstick with a bandana tied with stuff in it.
Right. Now, today you would have to be a sexy hobo.
I would do that.
Yeah. We're sharing with you the sexiest costumes of 2017. You've already missed sexy loofah, sexy fake news, sexy lumberjack, sexy pilot, and sexy Cap'n Crunch, a personal favorite of mine. Now, you maintain that Captain Crunch was not drunk? You don't think he was drunk?
I don't remember. That's not the first thing I thought of when I just thought, wow, I love your cereal, Cap'n.
Yeah. Oh, the cereal's outstanding, but I think the Captain has been dipping in a little bit. Do we have any audio? Let's listen to a little bit of Captain Crunch.
Really sweet, sugar sweet, and fun to munch because it keeps its crunch. So crisp, it never uncrunches, not even in milk. Now...
anybody for a bowl of Cap'n Crunch?
Scuttle my hornpipe, sea dog. There's people at breakfast I never saw before. Oh, man's got to
be drunk.
He doesn't sound drunk to me. He sounds fun. He sounds like a fun Cap'n.
All right.
He sounds like an old man, kind of.
A little bit.
Do you know who that voice is? Because it's very familiar to me.
I think his voice was done by Dawes Butler.
Okay, I don't want to think from Bill Leff. I want... it's Dawes
Butler.
I'm going
to go with Dawes Butler. See if Dawes Butler did the voice of Cap'n Crunch. I think it is. We'll find out. While you're looking it up, sexy French fries, Wendy. Does that do anything for you? Sexy French fries.
Absolutely. I want to be that. By the way, you're right. Dawes Butler does Yogi Bear, Cap'n
Crunch. Elroy Jetson.
Huckleberry Hound. Quick Draw McGraw. That's who he sounds like.
Yeah,
Snagglepuss.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. All right, so the sexy French fries, the bottom half of the costume and the sleeves, you're just wearing sleeves with this, look like a French fry package, and then the top, very revealing top, just looks like a bunch of French fries.
I like that.
That one's not bad. That one's not bad. You could be a sexy watermelon.
There is nothing sexy about a watermelon.
Well, the way this outfit is, it's very form-fitting. It starts at about the thighs, midway up the thighs, and it goes to about the cleavage. And then there's a bite taken out of it that shows a big part of your stomach and your side and your back. Sexy watermelon.
Jeez.
Seed sold separately. That's what it should be, is just strategically placed seeds. That would be an even sexier watermelon. You would out-sexy the sexy watermelon if you wore that costume.
That would be a lot of work, Bill.
It would be. And you'd also have to hope that it's not windy on that particular Halloween.
Well, you'd have to glue them down.
Right. Sexy bell. That's not like a tingling bell, but Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
They shouldn't be able to do sexy princesses like that.
I don't know if they should
either. These are kids' things.
Right.
And they're kind of sexy enough.
Was Belle from Beauty and the Beast sexy?
Well,
Mrs. Potts was sexy.
I didn't even see Beauty and the Beast.
Hot Mrs. Potts. Sexy Beast. Yeah, I guess if your girlfriend or your wife is dressing as Sexy Belle, you want to be Sexy Beast. It looks just like Beast from Disney's Beauty and the Beast. But again, there's no arms on it.
It's like a Chippendale-type dancer thing.
Yeah. I like when they make a woman's costume sexy, they make it real busty. But whenever they make a guy's sexy costume, it just doesn't have sleeves.
I know. And what if you don't have big guns?
Right.
You can't wear it.
Something of a double standard. Something of a double standard.
Yeah, put them in a G-string or something.
Right.
Not that I really want to see that sexy beast.
No. All right. This is inevitable. I'm surprised it took this many years because it's been a hit on Broadway for the last couple of years. But sexy Alexander Hamilton.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at this picture of this buxom brunette.
Yeah. By the way, the real Alexander Hamilton, also buxom. Did you know that about him? Fun fact.
But this is quite sexy.
It is kind of.
It's, you know,
I hate to admit it.
You're, you know.
Very provincial looking.
Yeah.
But still provocative at the same time.
The waistcoat with the tails and very tight fit. God, she's beautiful.
She looks good. She looks good. Sexy Freddy Krueger. Does that do anything for you?
You can't. No, that's sick.
So it's the traditional Freddy Krueger from all the Nightmare on Elm Street. Same hat, same striped sweater, although it looks like it's been kind of cut into. Although, why would he cut his own sweater? Like
by
that?
Accident.
Oh, by accident.
He had an itch.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, his chest, his chest had an itch, so
Whoops.
He scratched it. I guess. All right, that makes sense. And then there's fishnets, of course, which I don't remember him wearing in the movie, but maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention.
You didn't look under his pants. No, maybe he had them on.
It's possible. It's possible. Sexy Edward Scissorhands.
Very topical. When did that movie come out?
18 years ago.
I love the movie.
Yeah, the movie's great. So this girl is dressed just like Edward Scissorhands. Again, there's some scratches cut out of the costume. I don't know if he did it or Freddy Krueger was jealous. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Sexy.
Do they high five Freddy and Edward Scissorhands?
They can't. They can't. If they're on the same company softball team, they can't high five, Wendy. It's a rule. This one, they didn't even go through the bother of naming it. It's just Sexy Scottish Guy.
He's pretty sexy, Bill.
He's a good-looking man. He's wearing a kilt and kind of like what would you call that, a sash?
A Miss America sash, yeah. But it's plaid and matches the kilt.
Tartan, yeah, right? And then high socks, which women will agree universally is always sexy.
And a tam.
Yeah, he has a tam on. Tam!
Hot Tam Damali.
Hot Tam Damali is right. Sexy Jane Jetson. Does that do anything for you?
That does something for you.
Jane, his wife. Yow. She is wearing a very futuristic, sexy outfit, much like Jane Jetson would have worn, only far more revealing. And then we'll end it on this one, Wendy. The sexy zombie victim. So she's wearing essentially, it looks like, just Victoria's Secret underwear, but it is opened up to show her entrails, which is always very sexy.
Super sexy.
You can't go sexier than that.
Nothing says sexy like entrails.
Entrails all the time. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news, and then we'll talk about the new Saturday Night Live exhibit that's here in town. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Live from the Showcase Studio. I can't do it.
You were almost there.
No, I'm doing Daryl Hannah doing Daryl Hannah. Hammond.
Daryl Hammond.
Whatever.
Mark Locke is joining us right now. Mark has really, over the years, put together some of the most incredible exhibits in United States history. The Titanic, King Tut, and now Saturday Night Live. But to call you an exhibitionist would be wrong. People would be upset if we said that.
I think I'll take it, though. That's all right.
The Saturday Night Live, the exhibition, is starting this week and running for the next 14 months at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. First of all, thank you for being here.
Oh,
you were just
pleasure.
Telling Wendy and myself you have something of an affection for the city, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, it's as we were chatting just before, you know, I think back in 2000, I did my first Titanic exhibition at the Museum of Science and Industry. And that started the love affair between Mark Locke and the city of Chicago. Mm. The exhibition, of course, was very successful. That Titanic exhibit over the years has connected with people on an emotional level.
Yes.
Very compelling story, a true story. And then to have the real artifacts here in Chicago. And then most recently, before the SNL exhibit, did the King Tut exhibit over at the field. Mm-hmm. And that was received with the same sort of open arms and incredible, you know, record attendance. And now to come back with something completely different is very exciting. And to be at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, a perfect fit. You know, we opened this exhibition in New York, about 12 blocks away from 30 Rock, and it needed to be in New York. But if there's a place, as I walk the streets and tell people why I'm here, whether it's lunchtime or just in the cab, there seems to be a real ownership of SNL with the city of Chicago.
Well, a lot of the performers came from Chicago, correct?
That's it. Second City and Improv Olympics. And it really has been this kind of conduit of talent from Chicago to New York. And now, if you will, it comes back to Chicago.
Mark, when you're putting something together, any of these exhibits, King Tut, the Titanic, Saturday Night Live, you want to tell the story. You want to start at the beginning. You want to run all through its course. So what's your mindset with this particular exhibit? What was the story you wanted to tell?
That's a great question, because it opened after the 40th season, the 40th season of SNL. And remember, there was a lot of hoopla about that, and the special with everybody who was anybody was at that 40th anniversary season. So it was like, well, is that the obvious thing? Let's tell the story chronologically from the first season with Chevy Chase and Belushi and Bill Murray and Gilda Radner and Lorraine Newman and on and on. Mm-hmm. Well, boy, if you do that, the 17-year-old that loves Kate McKinnon maybe doesn't know Bill Murray as SNL, right? Or or that sort. And then the opposite is true, because if we're talking 43 years ago now, mm-hmm. the 43rd season right now, well, maybe the Belushi fan who now is in his 70s or maybe in his 80s, who come to this exhibit that age and so happy about that, maybe doesn't know Kristen Wiig as well. So rather than telling it chronologically, we've kind of put the comedy, the funny, interspersed throughout without reference to time, and told the story the way the show is put together from Monday to Saturday night at 11:30. And I'll mm-hmm. never forget when Lorne Michaels says, we start the show at 11:30, not because we're ready, but because it's 11:30, right? So it's this incredible piece of television that just doesn't exist anywhere else. Monday afternoon, Lorne has the guest host in his office, and they start talking with the writers, and what do you do to the guest host? What are some of your, do you do accents? Is mm-hmm. there something that you'd like to touch on? And then the writers on Tuesday go off and write probably 45 sketches. 30 are read through on Wednesday in the afternoon. And then by Wednesday night, about 12 or 14 sketches are decided upon. Mm-hmm. And Thursday morning, the scenery set guys in Brooklyn are building sets. The hair and makeup people are doing that for the doing their work for the first time. Prosthetics, the sets are being built, the lighting is being done. So it's this sprint to the finish that's unlike anything else. So hopefully we've captured that a little bit in the exhibition. You go from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you walk right past the makeup tables and into the control room as the dress rehearsal is happening. And then finally, Saturday night at 11:30, we've done a full-scale recreation, full scale of Studio 8H. The home base, that mm-hmm. iconic wow. stage we all know. You walk in, Tina Fey hosts this very special edition of Saturday Night Live, and we have musical guests, and we have a Jeopardy stage, and it really tells the complete story. So hopefully as you walk out, you exhale and go, wow, I had no idea. That's
manic,
how it all comes together.
It?
And yeah. Bill, you may have known that. I had no idea. And just sitting there this weekend, one of my sons said to me, so when do they tape this? And my husband and I are like, it's Saturday Night Live. They do not tape it. But I didn't realize while I'm sitting on my couch watching it that whole week prior to it is just tons of work.
It's incredible to watch it. And what's interesting, and by the way, that's not the first time I've heard that. I hear that more than not, that when do they tape it, when is it shot? The idea of live television with that kind of, as we talked earlier, that high wire act, you're going out there, they have a dress rehearsal, but imagine stand-up comedians, they yeah. develop they're set for years sometimes to get the timing just right and the right verb in the right spot. Well, this is, all right, here we go, seat of our pants. We're going out there and doing it. So as we've talked over the years, we've had some seasons that maybe aren't as great as the next season.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the appeal of SNL. It's really this, all right, I'm going for it. Whether it happens or not, we're going to give it our best shot. And then when 1 o'clock Eastern or 12 o'clock here in Chicago rolls around, there's a big exhale, and they did it again.
Last year, we were lucky enough. My family sat in Colin and Michael's dressing room during one of the shows.
Beautiful.
And they were reworking
Colin
jokes.
Jost and Michael Che. Colin, I know you're on a first-name basis.
Yeah, first-name exactly. building for us. Exactly. We're very close. They were rewriting jokes between the dress rehearsal and the show itself just minutes before the show was going on. That's how last minute
yes,
it really is.
Yes, and not only between dress and as you know, dress rehearsal is a full show.
Yeah.
It's got a studio audience. It's not like, okay, let's stop there. Let's reset, let's do it again. I may be wrong about the exact, I don't know if I have this exactly right, but I think twice or three times over the 43-year-old history, the dress rehearsal goes to tape, so it's in the can. Mm-hmm. And just in case, and I think there was a power outage once at 30 Rock, and maybe some sort of security threat, something like mm-hmm. that, where they ran the dress rehearsal. But what's interesting about the dress rehearsal, it lasts longer because all the sketches, those 12, 13 sketches, are tried out in yeah. front of the audience. And also, I had another point there about what happens in dress. But dress rehearsal, speaking of Weekend Update is about three times as long
mm-hmm.
because that is so topical, that humor, that they're trying things out, mm-hmm. right? And then this kind of hour and a half between the two shows, the show is reorganized. Sets are struck and out of the studio they go, and then Colin and Michael in this case mm-hmm. are rewriting and reordering their segment. So it's in many ways a separate show. People ask me a lot, if you had one show to go to, would it be Dress or Air? And I said, oh, I'd go to Dress in a second.
Really?
And then go home and watch Air and to see how it all kind of came together.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Mark Locke is here, creative director of Premier Exhibitions. The big show, it's called Saturday Night Live, The Exhibition.
The Experience
the
this
experience.
Time. Since we're in a museum, I think of calling it an exhibition, dusty things under glass, probably the wrong message to send.
Yeah,
This is you taking part in the show.
We'll talk more about it. If you want to jump in, you can. We're at 312-981-7200. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Mark Locke is here, creative director for Premier Exhibitions. The show is called Saturday Night Live, The Experience. It opens to the public on October the 21st, and it runs through December 21st, 2018. It's going to be here for 14 months. Go see it. You need to see it. Don't you think, Mark, that when the book is written on television in 1,000 years, this will be the show that is probably the most influential of all time in terms of just pop culture and lampooning everything that's come before it? This is the show that really was the game changer, wasn't it?
I think so. And when you people that are far more knowledgeable about that, its influence. One of our first videos has Steve Martin talking about remembering seeing it for the first time, and he said, somebody's done it. Somebody has really done it. They've taken television and turned it on its ear and making fun of it, And that was just, in 75 when the show premiered, that was outrageous. And through the years, and as current as last week, political commentary happening, getting people talking, it's been very influential that way, as well as being silly and stupid and foolish all at the same time.
Right.
But as far as its place in television history, it's solid.
Yeah. I love seeing the behind the scenes when they're going to a commercial break and they show who's getting ready for the set and the people writing the cue cards. Those people need a big round of applause, those behind the scenes people.
It's crazy. It absolutely, and to see how many people, I think when you go to the show and you sit up in that balcony area and look down on Studio 8H, that's what, if you're going there for the first time, that's more the memory than the sketches, to see this kind of organized band of ants down there moving sets around and just making it in time, and this the person that dresses, if you will, the guest host, grabbing that guest host by his or her hand and rushing into the quick change dressing room, and out she comes on the other side, completely changed, hair and makeup. We touch on that in the show as well. And one of the things in that finale that I mentioned, even though you're watching, say, Weekend Update up on the main stage, on the home base, mm-hmm. on the left and right, the video screens are showing what's happening around that. So you're seeing in this exhibition what you get a little taste of, bumper going in and out of commercial.
Yeah, I like that.
But you get that more in this experience.
And you mentioned off the air, some of the crew have been there quite a while.
Incredible to me. This machine called SNL, a guy that I've grown very close to, very talented, Eugene Lee, who is the set designer. And a Tony Award-winning set designer as well. It's not just sets for SNL. But he's, I'm sure he's okay with me saying this, but he's in his mid to late 70s. Hmm. The lighting director is 93, I think, now. 93 years
still
old.
Still getting it done every
still
week.
Still getting it done. And if it's Kanye West or Katy Perry or the Chainsmokers, whatever, he's the guy lighting them, and that's just crazy. So you look around and you see all these different people that have been with the show forever.
Yeah.
So that remains the same. This machine, something Lorne Michaels, as we talked about, can rely on.
Yeah.
And then the talent, of course, stays young, and it comes in and it succeeds and then maybe on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
So that is always changing, and I think that keeps Lauren and the whole team young as well.
I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Go through some of the things that people will see at the exhibit specifically.
Well, as we mentioned, it's organized within the days, but throughout that, we've gotten access to wardrobe that people have never seen. These things have never been on display before. And in many ways, they were, archived, but kind of put off into the corner, There have been requests by the Smithsonian for some things over the years, some things I think have made it, even an exhibition. But this is full, I forget how many artifacts, but every gallery, you've got wardrobe of, you start with the Killer Bees from the first season, Bill Murray as the lounge singer singing
Star Wars, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's his jacket, right? I remember Eugene Lee, the set designer, when we've got Dana Carvey's Church Lady outfit in the exhibition, and he was just convinced that the set, the first Church Lady set was still around, and all these younger guys, Eugene, we threw that away a long time ago. That's not around. Well, if you look at the photograph of the set shop, it's this massive place out at the Navy Pier or the Navy Shipyard in Brooklyn. And I was there that day, and I hear him. I won't quote him directly because it's not suitable for radio. But I hear this voice from Eugene. I found it, you.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And he stumbles down. And, well, it wasn't quite intact, but we put it back together. And there it is. Because it would have gotten kind of lost,
oh,
if
sure.
you will.
Yeah.
So wardrobe, the wigs that are so, you know, when we transform people, the Donald Trump wig, it may be there. Let's just get a little teaser for
it
you.
It would be
there.
So funny at the exhibit to have all the costumes and the props. And then you just turn a corner and Joe Piscopo's just sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
That would be the funniest thing in the world.
Joe came through the exhibit in New York. Yeah, and but you're right. He told his story, of course, with Eddie Murphy, and when he played Sinatra.
Yes. They saved the show.
That's
NBC
right.
wanted to cancel it, and those guys actually
That's
saved
right.
it.
That was a real lull there. Yeah. That was when Lauren was gone for 5 years. As,
Gene Dominion took over, is that right?
Dick Ebersole.
Dick Ebersole.
And any cheeseburger stuff since you're in Chicago here?
Well, we certainly have Chicago. One of my favorite. I don't think we have anything from that set. But Gilda Radner, of course, has such a connection in Gilda's club. We found some wardrobe from her first season as well. And that's a, you know, there's some, I would say, emotional moments, too, as you're remembering folks. Yeah.
This exhibition, it's called SNL The Experience. It's at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. That's 360 North State Street right here in Chicago. It opens to the public on the 21st, but on Friday night, there is a fundraiser, red carpet. Some tickets still are available at snlparty.com. They're a little pricey. This is a fundraiser at that point to raise money for the Museum of Broadcast Communications and Murray Brothers Foundation, which benefits first responders.
That's right.
And I was confused. This exhibit opens October 21st of this year.
Yes.
And it runs through December of next year.
Yes.
So we have a lot of time to see this.
We have a lot of time, but do not wait. It's always the same, isn't it? It's like, well, I'm going to see that King Tut exhibit. Well, we've been gone a month, so make sure you get there early.
Explain this to me. Yeah. The cutting-edge show of the 1960s was Rona Martin's Laughing, which I know Lorne Michaels got his start as a writer on that show. When you watch those today, they don't hold up very well. As funny as they were in the 60s, they just don't hold up that well. But SNL, when you go back and watch those episodes from 30 or 40 years ago, you're still laughing.
I think that's the difference? Boy, yeah, I might be out of my league answering that question. I don't know. That show just had that edge and that kind of irreverence towards television that I think we still to this day respect when somebody just says, eh, to the establishment a little bit. So I think maybe that's why it has that kind of... appeal. Now, it can be a silly sketch at the same time,
sure.
But you knew, like going back to that first season, you knew what Belushi was all about and Bill Murray was all about. So you knew these guys were not playing the game. You know, they were not part of the system, if you will. So I think that from the beginning has kind of been part of SNL's appeal.
You know, they say ADHD is very popular now. I have it. My kids have it. That was more laughing. There's actually more substance to SNL. You know, we were just blasted with things with laughing. And I know you told me go back and watch it. It doesn't hold up. That breaks my heart in a way.
I know. But SNL always seems to find a way, doesn't it?
Yes. And it was in our opening film, we kind of give you a little bit of so everybody has the same starting point. And they're referencing shows, some of the comedians, where did I go? Where with my talents, where would I go? And the things that were popular in 75 were things like Hee Haw.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that didn't
right.
have that kind of sketch sensibilities that Saturday Night Live
but
did.
They had Minnie Pearl.
Yeah, they
Sorry.
Did.
Come
yeah,
on.
They did.
Exactly.
Mark,
great
an honor
you.
To meet you.
Oh,
thanks
pleasure
so much.
To be with you guys.
You got a huge hit on your hands. It's Saturday Night Live, the exhibition at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It starts on the 21st. You have 14 months to see it, but there's a lot to see. So go now and spend
the
21st
months. This Saturday.
Yep. It's coming that quickly. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks,
greatly
guys.
Appreciate it. A quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And nestled in between you and me.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
Here's Steve Bertrand with the Wintrust Business Lunch. What's going on?
Well, John Najarian will be here. You know, the Dow crossed the 23,000 mark earlier today. It retreated a little bit, but it started the year just over 18,000. Think of that.
It's gone crazy.
It's a remarkable climb. Also, I want to talk to him about Netflix and its earnings report. Netflix next year, they say that by the end of next year, they want to have 50% original programming on their site.
Wow.
They're going to produce, they say, because it just seems impossible, 80 feature films next year.
Wow. Really? Yeah. Features meaning showed in theaters or right on Netflix immediately?
I'm assuming Netflix and made for Netflix, original programming, but some of the movie houses now are doing 18, 25.
Yeah,
so
right.
I don't know if they're going to get 80, but we'll talk to John about that.